Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Growth and Development. You have joined our midweek service at Labors for Christ Word Life Center. We are temporarily not on site, but we're at a satellite location. So we're so glad that you joined us, and we pray that this brief encounter will be encouraging, it will be informative, it will bring revival to our spirit as we seek the direction of the Lord. During this time of transition, we are a church on the move. So enjoy this musical worship before we go into our time of ministry. We are experiencing some technical problems.
Thank you.
Good evening. Psalms 107, 20 through 22 out of the Passion Version says, God spoke the words, be healed, and we were healed, delivered from death's door. So lift your hands and give thanks to God for his marvelous kindness and for his miracles of mercy for those he loves. Bring your praise as an offering and your thanks as a sacrifice as you sing your story of miracles with a joyful song. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done and who you are. We thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy towards us individually and collectively. We are excited about what you are doing in our lives, what you're doing in the life of Labors for Christ, and what you're doing in the life of those who are attached and have made a commitment to this ministry. Father, today we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your love. We praise you for your faithfulness towards us. And we thank you that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and we can obtain all that is needed for us, Father. Lord, your word has declared that all grace would abound towards us, that we will have all sufficiency in all things at all times, that we may abound towards every good work. Father, we thank you that we serve a God who is attentive to us, who cares about us, that every dot, every tittle about our lives was written, and you are a detailed God. David said that you woven us in secret. There are things about ourselves that we have not even yet discovered that you have laid out before the foundation of the world. And, Father, we thank you for each individual who is a part right now. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives and what you have purposed and ordained for them. God, I thank you for going before them and making all of their crooked paths straight and their rough places smooth. Father, I lift up those individual families that are listening to this Blog Talk broadcast, and I thank you for what you're doing, and I pray that you will bring comfort and you will bring strength and you will bring confidence that they will trust in the God who has spoken over their lives, who has declared a word over them. Father, I thank you that we can have confidence that you hear us. John said that we have this confidence that you hear us, that your ears are attentive to our prayers, that you hear the heart of our petition. And we don't serve a God who doesn't answer. You answer us, and we thank and praise you and honor you for that today. God, we thank you for this season of maturation. We thank you for this season of momentum. We thank you for this season of manifestation. We thank you for this season of a miraculous. We thank you that we serve a God who is performing his word over our lives. We serve a God who died for us and who loved us with a love that's indescribable and incredible, who watches over us, who take care of us. And as the word said, as Psalm says, we come joyful in praise to you. We tell our stories of your miracles and how you've made ways for us, how you've open doors, how you've shut doors, how you've been there for us from the very beginning, and we honor and praise you for that. Holy Spirit, we magnify you. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for what you are doing in our lives, what you reveal to us from the Father, from the Son, concerning where you're taking us and where you desire to go. And we honor you for it, Father. We thank you for the words that have been released over Labors for Christ, Father. We thank you for this season that you have declared that we stand in the water and we watch the priest, Father. We've never taken this route before, and we thank you that when others trust in horses and chariots, we put our trust in you, Father. We trust that you have a plan. We trust that you have purposes for us. We trust that you have predestined and already ordained our path, that the footsteps of a godly one is ordered by the Lord. And so we trust that we are in your hand. We trust that according to your word, you have thoughts towards us, thoughts that are good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope, to bring us to an expected end, Father. And we have an expectation and we have an excitement for that end that you have declared, that you have spoken over our lives. We thank you that when weapons formed against us, they cannot prosper, Lord God. When strongholds will rise up against us, you said 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but none will come nigh our dwelling, Father. We thank you that we are safe with you, Lord God, that we are protected under the shadow of the Almighty, that you cover us and that you keep us, Lord. And someone right now just needs to know that you are concerned about everything, Father. You're concerned about everything that concerns them, Lord. And we pray that you will remove the burden. You will remove the shoulder from the burden. When the burden is not removed, they won't have to carry the weight of it, Father, that they will be able to trust in you, Father. They will be able to trust that all things work together, Father. The good, the bad is working for our good, and we honor and praise you for it, Father. We spend this moment in thanksgiving and adoration to our King and our Savior. We thank you that you have forgiven us. We thank you that we are cleansed by your blood. We thank you that we are covered by your blood. We thank you for your word that washes us and purify us, that keeps us in divine and perfect alignment with your will. We thank you that we serve a God who cannot lie to us, Father. Whatever you spoke, you would do. Whatever you promised, you would make good on it. And we thank you for that today. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you're going to do. We thank you for all that's going to come our way, Father, and we embrace it with praise. We embrace it with worship. We embrace it with thanksgiving. We embrace it with joyful sounds of gladness unto you, Father, and we honor you for today. Thank you, God, for all that you have purposed. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you for all that you have spoken, and we bless you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our ambassadorial prophet has led the way in prayer for us as we come together to receive the insight that the Lord will have for us. And we want to read Joshua, the third chapter. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. And if you have your Bible, I encourage you to get it and read along with us. And as we're reading, we want to receive the strategy that God has for laborers for Christ. And so when they talk about the children of Israel, we are also children of God. And he has made promises to us, just as he has future children of God. So in Joshua, the third chapter, when we get there, we see that Moses is no longer with them. They've come right at the brink of the promised land. And it, scripture says, Joshua was up early and on his way from Shittim with all the people of Israel with him. He arrived at the Jordan and camped before crossing over. After 3 days, leaders went to the camp and gave out orders to the people. When you see the covenant chest, the Ark of the Covenant, your God, carried by the Levitical priests, start moving. Follow it. Make sure you keep a proper distance between you and it, about half a mile. Be sure now to keep your distance, and you'll see clearly the route to take. You've never been on this road before. Then Joshua addressed the people, "Sanctify yourself. Tomorrow God will work miracles, wonders among you." And Joshua instructed the priests, "Take up the ark and step out before the people. So they took it up and proceeded before the people. God said to Joshua, "This very day I will begin to make you great in the eyes of all Israel. They'll see for themselves that I am with you in the same way that I was with Moses. You will command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the Jordan River, stand there on the riverbank." Then Joshua addressed the people of Israel, "Attention, listen to what God, your God, has to say. This is how you'll know that God is alive among you. He will completely dispose of before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Persianites, the Gershonites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Look at what's before you, the Ark of the Covenant. Think of it. The master of the entire earth is crossing the Jordan as you watch. Now take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, master of all the earth, touch the Jordan River, the flow of water will be stopped. The water coming from upstream will pile up in a heap." And that's what happened. The people left their tents to cross the Jordan, led by the priest carrying the ark. When the priest got to the Jordan and their feet touched the water at the edge, the Jordan overflowed its bank throughout the harvest. But the flow of the water stopped. It piled up in a heap a long way off at Adam, which is near Zarethan. The river went dry all the way down to the Arabah Sea, the Salt Sea, and the people crossed facing Jericho. And there they stood. Those priests carrying the ark stood firmly planted on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry land. Finally, the whole nation was across the Jordan, and not one wet foot. So we thank God for this illustrative example of the strategy of God for his people. As we look at it and as we listen to some of the instructions that were given to the children of Israel, they had to obey the ark, they had to obey their leader. They had to take instructions from the leader. The leader received the instructions from God. And we have to position ourselves to be available and obedient to those that have the rule over us. The ark represents the word of God. What was in the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments on the stone that the Lord had written out, and then they had put in the ark that was in the tabernacle. And the priests were the Leviticus priests. They were those that had been chosen by God to tend to his house. So they were our pastors and our leaders, and the ark being the word of God. And so he's saying to the children of Israel, you watch the shepherd of the house. You watch the priest of the house, the one that I have chosen to minister to me. And you watch what they do, and you watch the word of God. Don't take your eye off the word of God. And the eye, not necessarily meaning your sight, but your enlightenment, your inward source of thinking. As keeping your eye on the ark, on the word of God, always being mindful that the word of God is firmly and rooted in your heart and in your life, and that is what you're following. And to do that, I love it when it says you got to keep your distance, because if you get too close to it, you won't see the route that you're taking. So it's not really telling us not to get close to the pastor or to the word of God, but what it is showing us is we have to be able to see it in order to make a step towards it. So if you choose, you know, if you're too close to somebody, you're liable to step on their heel. So it says keep your distance so you can see clearly and you can see where you're going to go, because you've never gone this way before. Indicating it's nothing that was not by sight, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. And also that we have to lean not against to our own understanding. See, this is something totally different. You don't know how this is going to work. Even if you've done certain things like this before, like when they did cross and the Red Sea. But he said, even so, this is different. And this is a new thing that God was doing for them. And then all the whole list of the enemies that the children of Israel would dispose from the land indicates those principalities that are on the mountain, the seven mountain prophecy. So he's saying, I'm giving you the authority and the power to displace all of the wickedness in high places, all of the wickedness in the places that we become influenced by, so that which will come forth will be from the word of God and from the heart of God. And so we want to encourage you to study the first, second, and third chapter, and the fourth chapter, actually, of Joshua. Nice, easy reading, but I believe as we read it, we will see strategies. We will see our own journey in this presentation of this scripture. And so one of the things that the apostle wanted to share this evening, wanted me to share this evening with you, is the soil, the seed, and the water. One of the things that the children of Israel were actually admonished to do was to sanctify yourself. Separate yourself from those things that are flesh, those things that your own preference, your own eyesight, and to present yourself as vessels to bring about the Lord's desire. So as we do that, we must do it also as a group. They went together. It says not one was left. So the priest, if you will, stayed in the middle of that water with the ark until everybody had come over. So that is, again, just another indication of the ministry of one another and the fact that we need each other to survive. To survive, and this is true, but we need each other to be victorious, because no one person does it on their own. And so we want to all be in position to receive the plan that God has and the prosperity that plan is going to lead to. So we want to share with you a prayer strategy that the Lord gave Laborers for Christ a year ago, actually. And I think we need to be reminded of it, and we need to allow the Lord to give us further revelation as it relates to it. And so God does have a plan. He has a strategy for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. The triune three as one. God the Father, Holy Spirit, working to bring his love to the world. God the Son. He has included us through Christ to join him in his plan for man. God's plan for man is to man, by man, and for man. And God reveals his plan for man using many things and methods we are familiar with. In the presentation of the role of the soil, the seed, and the water throughout Scripture, its illustration of the gardener, the relationship of growth, hope, and of the hand of God is made clear. His message to his people is to work together with a God's eye view and an understanding of heavenly precepts. And so in 1 Corinthians 3 and 7, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So each member was given soil, seed, or water. They chose it. And as a symbol of a component in God's strategy for man, all three elements, the soil, the heart of man, prepared by the gardener, God the Father, then the seed, Jesus, the Word of God, and the water, Holy Spirit, activates our holy living. And all this works together yet as one. And so must we be. We must connect with others, united in Christ. It will take the combined heart of us all to complete the mission we are sent to do. So I would like to pause here and inquire, does anybody that's on the line still have their soil or their seed or their water? Your lines are open. Does anybody remember
I still have mine, Overseer. This is Apostle KP.
Amen. Do you have a testimony about yours?
Well, for me, it's a constant reminder of not being able to do things by myself, and I was just sharing that with someone on today, that it actually takes all three of those components working together to produce. And so we cannot be an island. You just can't be water and think that something is going to be produced. You just can't be soil and think that something is going to be produced if no seed has been planted in it. So it takes all of these to produce what's necessary. So for me, it's a constant reminder of what I need to do to be a part, to be an intricate part, a working part, a part with effort and mind to connect with others so that we can produce that which God would have us to produce.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Anybody else? I know part of what we asked was to find someone that has the components that you don't have. So if you had soil, then you had to find someone that had seed or had the little water. Just symbolically of linking together, one for accountability, another because the source of what the other person has is vital for the one, the goal that was being accomplished. And the Lord showed me how wonderful it would have been had we done that very diligently and it produced plants that then we could beautify our own sanctuary in. Okay, and every time you would see your plant, you would know that you and the people you linked with did this thing. And now it is growing. Whatever the seed was, it is producing something that is really beautiful in that it speaks to the labor of love of one another. And so we want to encourage you. I believe that the apostle is going to do some things again with it. And so we do want to encourage you to, if you have it, look it up and do some research for yourself as it relates to this one another through the soil, the seed, and the water. Okay, and now we have, there's just a little blurb where we say the seed is the heart of men. You know, as we move into this new location, we're community-minded. The hearts of man, they're waiting there, and the Father prepares people's hearts. These are us in that community is an answer to someone's prayer. And so God wants to capture and cultivate the hearts of man through us. We must first let the soil of our hearts be cultivated, intimately prepared by the hand of God. Romans 5:5a says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Holy Spirit is given so that the truth and the power of the word will take root, changing the soil of our hearts, removing the rocks, the weeds, the callousness, the sayings, the cares, the influence of the world has created in us. Our thinking, our actions, and our reactions now mirrors that of Christ as he has made us his ambassadors. And then Psalms 97:11 in the message says, like seeds are planted in the souls of God's people. Joy seeds are planted in good heart soil. And then we look at the seed, the word of God, that will transform the lives of all who seek it and hide it in their hearts, and who live their lives according to its faith, facts, and God's promise. Faith, facts, and God's promises are what we should live our life according to, base our life according. Make every move we make based on a faith, facts, and God's promise. And in Psalms 119:169, it says, God, provide me with the insight that comes only from your word. Give my request your personal attention. Rescue me on the terms of your promise. Let praise cascade off my lips. After all, you've taught me the truth about life. And let your promises ring from my tongue. Every order you've given is right. Put your hand out and steady me, since I've chosen to live by your counsel. And then in Mark 4:20, others, like seed sown on good ground, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was planted. And then for the water, spiritual cleansing and purified. Holy living waters the seed. On Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Christ's likeness should flow from within every believer. The moral and practical cleansing produced by the constant application of the word of God says rivers of water will flow from us into places he sends us, providing a harvest with living examples of the power the word of God lived out, exposing the harvest to the love power, of the fruit of the Spirit. And then in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So each one will receive an element. And as an element of a component in God's strategy for man, all three elements, the soil, which is prepared by the gardener, God the Father himself, the seed, which is the word, which is Jesus Christ, and the water, Holy Spirit, activates the holy living, all work together, yet are one. And are one, and so must we be. We must connect with others, united in Christ. It will take the combined hearts of all of us to complete the mission as we are sent out to do. And that mission is going forth, you know, on the move as we are preparing to receive a promise and to enter a promised land that does come with responsibility. And it comes with joy, but it also comes with a promise and some faith facts that we need to get and hide in our hearts so that we will not be discouraged by what things look or the way things may go. One of the things that the priests had to do, they had to stand in the middle of the Jordan. Okay, so there's always going to be those that have the gift of faith, and they believe, and they've been empowered and anointed to cover while we learn and while we walk and while we make the choice to step out in faith. I'm sure that it's daunting to get to a river that's overflowing, and he said it. He didn't stop it before they got there. He said once you get in it and you put your feet down, and that means you that's like walking on water. You do it before you see it. You do it because you believe it. You do it because you're standing on God's promise and God's faith back to keep us on the journey to prosperity by following his plan. And then he guarantees it, that all your enemies, you've already had victory over. You just have to walk in that. So we want to encourage you to share with one another, even during this process, the promises of God and faith facts. What is it, a fact? You know, it is a fact that without faith it's impossible to please God. That's just a fact. And if we want to please him, we need to ask even, Lord, help my unbelief. But we establish our thinking, our reactions, and our emotions on the word of God. All right. Any comments, insights, revelations? You're all on speaker. Okay, we have silence. All right, then.
Overseer, I'm sorry. I don't want to be the only one talking. But I was just thinking about, as you were speaking, where sometimes it may take more water. We've been having a hot season right now, and even though it's been rainy, we found that our grass and some of our plants were still thirsting for water. And so sometimes it may take more of you to give, more of your giving of you to assist in the bringing about. Shata. Hey.
Amen.
Yeah, it may take more of you. And even how you said that the priests were standing in the water, you know, there was something that it necessitated that there needed to be more water, or the sun may not be shining as it should, and you need more soil, whatever the case may be. And we find, whatever the case, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, yes, God, when you're being stretched, Yes, God. To know that there is more of you and what you have to offer, yes, God, to the producing of what God is trying to bring about. And so that was the revelation that I got as you were speaking.
Amen. Amen. And we do it. And it's okay to be the sit. He's given us a voice to speak. And so it's a joy because certain things, like what you're saying, as it relates to the amount of a certain thing in a certain season at a certain time. And so to even know these things, and this is one of the reasons he says, keep your distance, step back, and watch so you'll know. Because if you're too close, you won't know this needs some more water. This may need more dirt, okay? Or this may need more soil, seed. And so those are the things that we have to busy ourselves with doing and busy ourselves according to the way Holy Spirit will direct our day. Someone sent me one of those emoji thingies, and it said, what are you going to do with your life today? And I thought, wow, that's a deep good morning. I mean, you know, but it gets you to thinking, what am I doing? What are the things on my to-do list today? And is it really a way that my life should be spent? You know, and so we have to question some of the things that we do and not do them just by routine, but we have to see, Holy Spirit, is this what I'm supposed to do today? You know, lead and direct my day. And we say we tell, ask Holy Spirit to do that, but I am sure there's a lot that's in our day that he didn't tell us to do. And so if we check, it may not be something he wants done that day by you or whatever. And so it's just certain things that once we get to, as you were saying, with the water of the Holy Spirit, you need more water. We need more obedience to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And not because we need to see something, but because by doing that, we will see something. Because we can't imagine what he's going to show us and what it's going to mean. But if we are obedient, then the word says, then we'll reap the good of the land. And we want the good of the land.
And, you know, and even what you were saying as far as if I'm the water and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as to whether or not water is needed for that day, because you can overwater something as well and cause the root to rot. And so, again, going back to that, the spirit of obedience and doing it in a timely manner, to being sensitive to when Holy Spirit is saying, yes, you need to move, or no, I need you to refrain from, because there's something I'm doing in the soil that you can't see.
Yeah.
And if you water it or whatever the case may be, you can cause the root to rot, and then the produce or that which I'm trying to produce, it will be a
blessing. Amen. Amen. You need to preach it.
Well, Apostle,
yes.
I mean, KP and Overseer, when I was listening to the water and believe me, it's in the Sunday school lesson. I study that. Water is a resource, and God wants us to know that he is our source. So as Apostle KP was saying, you can have too much water in something and kill it. And then we also can have not enough water. But when we can, as you were saying, wake up every morning depending on our source, which is God himself, and the Holy Spirit, then we come into obedience, then we know just how much water to use, when to let it overflow. And this is why I believe God is calling us now, that our eyes would be open, that we would know he is the source. It's too many times we're looking for resources. And even though water, we know our body needs water, but that's another resource. God is our source. And I was just listening, and, you know, I'm like, Apostle KP, I like to listen sometimes, but if someone not saying anything, then I open my mouth. But it's so much that we're learning.
Amen. And yet when you share, we all learn more. You know, and if you just look at that analogy, and everything that you know about plants and seeds and the soil and water, whether it's what was brought in scripture or what you experience just in everyday living, it teaches a lesson of the kind of character and the kind of activity we should be engaged in and how we're to be engaged in that activity. Because one of the things, when you were talking about too much water, and so if we remember, it's all three are one, and it has to be balanced. It has to be balanced. And as you said, if you don't, then you spoil the harvest. One way or another, it is spoiled, and the only perfect way is to receive the instruction of Holy Spirit for the journey and the task that's set before us. Wonderful dialogue. Anybody else give any insight as to just the soil, the seed, and the water? Or traveling into a new promise, walking into a new promise. Okay. Well, we really got a really nice crowd on Blog Talk, a vibrant crowd, but a crowd nonetheless. But we appreciate you taking out the time and sharing and interacting with us. We have a word from our apostle, and then we'll be closed out.
Amen. We are excited about that which the Lord is doing with our seed, soil, water. We trust the Son to do what only He can do. And anytime you're in the presence of the Son, you can expect. Oh, amen. You can expect. So as we are in this season of new wine and new wine skins, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man that which the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. I want to encourage you to take the opportunity to remember, and if you need to return, return. But bare minimum, remember your first love.
Amen.
And allow that love to be rekindled again, so that as the sun shines, we will be like the grass that gets scorched. But we will be the plant that needs the rays of the heat of the sun to bloom and blossom. So, as always, it's a pleasure to be your servant. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now.
Amen. And good night. Night.